Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to South Paul's episode 373, the good old days. Question mark. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And this week, we've got some fun topics. I'm doing good. I'm here with Fuzz. She was not joining us because Fiesta is in 2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks. Oh my god, I can't believe it's that close.
And boy howdy, I'm getting ready. I'm pretty ready. But my actual task is pretty small, all things considered.
Yeah. Tieran was doing final proofing checks on the pocket schedule today.
I have to say, the con book this year for Furry Fiesta looks amazing. It is super good. And, like, a couple of the ads, there's a, I forget what con it is, but the artist, Dimikur, I think it is, does it? Uh-huh. And there is a powerful thirst radiating from that image. Because it's like some ram, and then there's some feline character. She's like sitting down, but her eye line is right at his crotch. I'll pull it up on my phone here so you can see it, Fuzz. But I have to say that Fiesta's thing this year looks really good. The schedule is really full of quality panels, and... like, I'm actually really hoping that I'll be able to see a few, because I actually have staff this year.
I may not have noticed that until you pointed it out, but it does. It's kind of like, yeah, I want the D.
Yeah. So, when you get your copy of the Fiesta Con book, you'll probably see the ad. It's some... I forget the convention, because I just cropped the shot out.
Yeah.
Tieran was having me proof it.
Yeah.
Make sure there wasn't any misspellings or anything. And so I was reading it very carefully, looking at all the things. And I noticed this, and I'm like, I really like the artist's art. Mm-hmm. They do really good porn. But just the eye line on this was like, ah, she's thirsty. She wants a drink of that ram.
And it's, who wouldn't?
It's a good-looking ram, I gotta say.
So hot.
Like, both those characters are both very attractive, because of furries.
Have you seen the cover of the schedule yet? So, it's super cute art, but I know a subset of people are going to go apeshit over it.
Oh no? Really? Go forth and get that, because he's going to go into the production room. Okay, so the pocket schedule cover is like, oh man, the paw fetishists are going to be super hot.
Yep.
Because it's the Fiesta OC Jack, and he's walking towards the camera, and you can see both of his paws. Oh man. And he's not wearing any pants, but he's a cartoon...
He's a cartoon jackalope, so it's all good.
That's fun.
So I was proofing the schedule today. And, like, there's a bunch of just really cute, neat art all throughout the schedule as well.
So I gotta say that Tieran has done a really good job laying it out, and we got a lot of good art this year.
Yeah,
I'm actually,
like,
really excited for Fiesta.
A lot of great art. Like, we usually do... Fiesta usually does get a lot of good art, but like this year, it's like there's just
so much on theme.
Yeah, like a lot of really nice, high quality on theme art.
And the badges look really cool this year too.
Oh, I haven't seen those yet.
I'll pull them up here in a minute, but it's super nice. I'm just real excited. We got 2 weeks from Fiesta.
One thing I saw in the schedule that I thought was cool, I don't remember the exact time. I want to say it's like 7 o'clock on Thursday night or something like that. But on the schedule, it is Tour of Hotel.
Nice.
So I guess they can, like, because looking at it, like, this con is going to be, like, super impressive this year. I didn't realize. I haven't been directly involved with Fiesta in a year
couple
and a half.
Years, yeah.
Though. Yeah. But looking at it, like, there's the lobby level of the hotel. So you'll walk in. The dealer's room is on the lobby level. I'm quite happy about that, because I think that'll be, you know, everyone will walk into the hotel at the lobby level. And if the dealer's room is on that same level, that's good. Then there's a level below that, which has, like, the art show and artist alley.
And panel rooms.
Panel rooms.
The escape room.
Bunch of different
laser
stuff.
Laser tag.
Laser tag might be on 3. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean,
but
we have so many fucking
And then there's
rooms.
A third room, third level. So the third floor is where all the party rooms are. and there's the big patio up there, and there's another big piece of con space up there too. So Fiesta is on three levels of this huge, really high-end hotel right in downtown.
Yeah.
We're not like a little Hilton by the airport kind of convention anymore, you know? Yeah. Like, or Holiday Inn by the airport
kind of. What's really cool, so my room is on the, my gaming room is on the atrium level. Like, I had to provide the, I had somebody asking, hey, I want to bring my Wii with light gun games. And I'm like, that sounds fucking cool. You can find me in the gaming room. By the way, here's a map so you can find me.
Yeah.
We've got stuff all over the hotel. It's really cool. This hotel used to host some other really big events, so we have plenty of room to grow.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to hit 4K this year, and that'll be really cool if we do. But people are really excited. They're staying at the hotel, and I'm not going to be staying at the hotel, which might be kind of a mistake.
I know we have party room, but that only has the bedroom part of the party room. The suite only has two beds in it, and we have more of our crew with us. So I think we also have, like, an adjoining room or another room on that floor. Okay,
Zia can sleep in my lap.
He can curl up anywhere. Yeah. Martins are small. So, I mean, I might go home. I might go down and just stay there. I have no idea my plans yet.
Fiesta, wee!
Yeah, yeah. You know, and just putting it out there, the Fiesta's con schedule is online already.
Yeah.
If you go to the website, there are links to it. If you're planning to go to Fiesta, go and check it out. Make an account on the schedule.
And make yourself a schedule, because there's a lot of really good looking panels.
Yeah, like there's like a bunch of writing panels. There's between like 15 and 20 writing events this year, which I'm really happy about. But beyond that, there's all just a bunch of different stuff, all manner of things that I was surprised about. There's like cool stuff on like artists and writers doing things professionally.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
And Kyle's doing stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, Kyle Gold has a
panel just for him.
Yeah, he has a reading. So he'll be doing a reading and then probably doing a Q&A about it. There's another one that I thought was cool for writing. It's from commissioning to publishing. Because like a lot of writers start out like taking commissions on FA or SoFurry. And I guess they'll have folks discussing like both sides of that, or if you want to move from one to the other or something like that.
So I'm showing Fuzz the images. And they're still kind of internal only, but I don't know if they might have put on the website, but we have five different badge images this year. We've got, like, there's a pink griffin, there's Jack the Jackalope, there's a Cheshire Cat, there's a cute doggo, there's a dragon in a turtle costume, and they're all themed around Alice in Wonderland. I mean, that's our theme for this year.
Yeah.
I am just kinda really like happy with how fucking high grade we've gotten. I mean, yeah, we've been doing this for a decade. And that's really cool, because holy shit, we've been doing this for a decade.
I feel that Sable is using his concher position by having a griffin be on one of the badges.
It's a pink griffin, it's not his OC.
I know it's not his OC. Right?
It's supposed to be like the Queen of Hearts, except it's, you know.
The Griffin of Hearts, yes.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. But
yeah. It's good stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I did finally go and recycle those CRTs that I had.
Oh, yeah.
Because the thought of having to make two trips from my apartment to the new hotel site with those CRTs in tow made me want to die. So right. I was like, actually, I'm just going to recycle these bitches. And if people don't like playing GameCube games on a flat screen 32-incher, I don't care. Because people just play Smash Brothers.
Mm.
I had them specifically for older consoles, but honestly, they're way too heavy and unwieldy to transport that far.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to put them in the inventory because they're old ass CRTs and they take up a ton of space.
Oh, right.
So yeah. I actually paid to get them recycled. It was like $10 per. Mm-hmm. There's an electronic recycling place down off Midway that it's like, oh, yeah, you can drop off pretty much everything for free, but the CRTs, because they contain hazardous materials, there is a recycling fee.
Yeah, they're full of like asbestos, mercury, and bronies.
Yeah, well, bronies, those are incredibly dangerous creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're going to kick into that topic.
Yeah, I didn't mean for that to be a segue, but it kind of is.
Yeah, so The My Little Pony fan community, the bronies, have been rocked in the last couple days. I'm actually really glad we're recording now on a Saturday as opposed to on Thursday, because this hadn't happened yet, and by the time we would have recorded next Thursday, it would be kind of stale.
Right.
So there is a analyst in the pony analyst community, these people are not my friends, named Toon Critic. Toon Critic.
Critic with a K.
With a K, yeah. Was basically outed as having been doing ERP with a 14, now 15-year-old Filipino girl.
So ERP is erotic role play.
Correct.
Yeah, I had to think about that when I was reading the article, because it's not, I'm not in a, I don't do the ERPing and stuff like that.
I mean,
and we didn't call it that back in the day.
It was called TS.
I'm not quite that old, because I wasn't on the mucks. We just called it type fucking.
Yeah, type fucking. Basically, this mid-20-year-old dude was type fucking with a underage kid.
Yeah.
But it went beyond that, too. So this guy had been talking to this girl for, like, a year or so. Uh-huh. Eventually, it progressed to him wanting to get photos of her in her panties, and also getting her to come to the United States to attend a convention together where they could share a room and reenact some of what they roleplayed. And the thing is, this is not just conjecture. This is a vindictive 15-year-old releasing the entire Skype transcript once he broke up with her and broke off.
Mm-hmm.
So we have very undeniable proof that this guy was doing some, at minimum, incredibly sketchy shit with an underage kid. And probably illegal. And, like, people are like, oh, you know, the age of consent in Philippines is, like, 12. And I'm like, well, guess what, motherfucker? You're in the United States. The laws apply here. And
yeah, there's also, like, not that he went over to the Philippines to have sex with her, but, like, even if he had, that's still illegal for United States
illegal law.
You know, traveling overseas to have sex with kids is a felony in the U.S.
Yeah, it's a super felony.
Yeah.
It's federal. What's worse is that there were people that had been covering for him. Like,
yeah,
it was a known thing within the analyst circles that this guy was a problem and had been doing some sketchy shit. He'd been handsy with people at conventions, and these guys were protecting him.
Oh, I want to put it in another thing here, because I read an article on this today. Apparently, it wasn't just that he broke up with her or that he realized that, oh, crap, I'm totally a pedo. He had a boyfriend for, like, well over a year. So she basically took it as, he's cheating on me.
Yeah.
Or clearly this means nothing because he already has someone else he's seeing.
Yeah.
And I'm just this weird fetishy thing on the side. Apparently she has since said on Twitter or some other medium that she's much happier now and she feels like this weight off of her and so forth. So.
Well, when I say vindictive 15-year-old, I mean basically she found out that this was not a serious thing. But he broke it off also kind of because he's like, oh no, what am I doing? Well, guess what? You shouldn't be doing it in the first place.
Yeah.
It's a really big problem, though. Because the My Little Pony fandom is very small. We recently had that pedo doctor from the U.S. Gymnastics, right? That guy is going to prison for the rest of his life, plus a million years.
If reincarnation was real and we knew who you ended up with, like, his next three fucking lives, he would still be in jail.
I mean, if he could regenerate, he'd still spend a few in prison, right?
Oh, that would suck so bad.
But this guy was being covered up for. And mm-hmm. now, this is seriously, it's a Me Too kind of thing where this guy had gotten handsy with a lot of people and been very presumptive and hit on people. And it just disgusts me. Again, personally, these guys were super not my friends when it came to the pony scene.
Mm-hmm.
They were very self-entitled. They were very demanding. And there's at least one of those people that was covering up for him that threatened my convention with bad press because we didn't suck his dick enough when he showed up. Mm-hmm. I've got 100,000 subs on YouTube. Well, go fuck yourself. This coming out just kind of doesn't surprise me either.
Hmm.
It's been 7 years. It took this long for there to be a pedo scandal that I can recall. I mean, all right, it shouldn't ever happen, but I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. I'm just super disappointed, not surprised.
I was also not surprised to see that his OC is red and black and always has a super edgy expression.
Yeah. What's really more disturbing also is that you have these kids, these other people that are like, oh, you know, he's not a bad guy. You know, I've had these urges too. Basically, people are like, well, I'm a pedo too. Trying to defend him. Come in this guy's defense.
Something like the, like Horse News linked their article on their Twitter account. And one of the comments was, man, there's a lot of like pedo defenders in your comment section.
Really disturbing.
It really is. Like, when I scrolled down and got to the comment section, I was really expecting to see a slew of, oh, fuck that guy, he needs to be arrested or something. But no. Like, the first few comments were all, well, I don't see what was so bad, or, well, the age of consent in the Philippines is 12, so he technically didn't do anything wrong. And I was like, my God, are these people fucking serious?
Apparently so. I mean, and this kind of goes, this guy only had like 18,000 subs on YouTube, but he still has a little cult of personality around himself. Yeah. You know, it's like kind of like the people that defended that Paul Goblin who filmed the dead body in Japan.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, it's over and done with, leave him alone. No, this is a massively illegal thing that this guy did and admitted to, and that people in his community were covering up for. They are complicit. And if I was still running a convention for the pony scene, I would be very hostile to every single person in that whole fucking mess. Yeah. They would not be welcome. And it really falls to the remaining conventions to similarly be hostile, because the My Little Pony community, it skews young. There's lots of actual kids in the scene. Mm-hmm. And this guy was doing shit for who knows how long. This is a major issue for the remaining conventions that they need to address and put their foot down on. Just because some motherfucker has 100,000 subs on YouTube does not mean you need to give him access to your convention, because this guy was covering up for a pedo for who knows how long. I'm disgusted. I'm not surprised. And I'm really glad that I'm not running a convention for these people anymore, because it would make my life difficult to play ball with these at all. Like, the number of people that I consider good analysts is like 2.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. Like, these people overanalyze a children's cartoon, get big ass heads, and have translated that into abuse of conventions and their fans, and covered up for a pedophile. And that's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
So,
that's the latest brony news.
Yeah, latest brony news. It's all sunshine and rainbows in the hiatus lands. And it is weird, because if I was still running a convention, I would be super fucking mad and pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just deeply disappointed.
And yeah.
Annoyed. And also kind of like, I fucking knew those guys weren't good. You know?
But yeah, yeah.
That's just personal experiences talking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there's people out there that enjoy their content. And if it's made in good faith and fun, cool. But no, whatever. It's I just can't rock it. Moving on. The other thing. So this is a kind of a red meat topic. The next one's kind of a not so much a sort of an informative topic. So I've been having to deal with the death of my parents' friend.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that I don't know if I brought up on the show. No, it happened Sunday. So it happened after we recorded last.
Okay.
So my parents have been friends with this other couple for 25-something years, and on Sunday night, he had a fucking massive heart attack and died in bed. So that's traumatic enough.
Yeah.
And the really shitty bit is they didn't have health insurance, and he had been having chest pains, took aspirin to try to ward it off, still fucking died. They were afraid of the hospital bill, and for that, his wife is now a widow. And so that's been rough as hell. Like, my parents have basically, they're never in a good spot financially, but they are dealing with this as well. You know, they're dealing with their issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they also are trying to help this woman who, for the past, they had been married 40 fucking years. And her husband just dropped dead. And then, like, 2 days ago, she fell at home and, like, bashed her fucking head open. Broke her arm. And so, now you've got, she's in the hospital, which is bad. She had a concussion. She had a brain bleed. Got stitches. Broke her arm. But it's at least a clean break. And I'm telling you all this horrible shit because my parents have been spurred into action. And I think that if you have your parents around still, you should do this too. Is help them get their shit together. Get them a will. Find their birth certificates. Get their marriage certificates. Find their insurance information. Their bill information. Their passwords for, like, bill pay sites. put that shit in a fucking fire safe, put it at your house, or put it at your parents' house. Just have a key. Have them get a safety deposit box. Because the situation only gets worse because for the past long time, her husband had been handling all the financial affairs. She didn't even know how to turn on the fucking phone. Her like iPhone or whatever. My parents had to show this. So if your parents are still around, do yourself a favor and get them to get all that shit together. I'm really glad my parents are doing that now because I would not have the first idea how to handle their arrangements. But this has been a kick in the pants for them, which I'm also kind of passing along to you guys because I've had to be in Fort Worth a couple days this last week just to help them out with stuff. And it's been a lot of me listening to them basically share the trauma that they've been having to go through and how upset they are and how awful things are. And I'm just kind of listening going like, I want to be a good son and listen, but I'm like, holy shit, this is awful. So do yourselves a favor and your parents a favor and whoever else and spare them the trouble of trying to figure out all your shit. Get a fire safe, collect your documents, give a spare key to someone you trust. Because this way, when my parents eventually die, they're in their 60s, they got, you know, anywhere between 40 to less years left, that I will be able to handle their shit and handle their final arrangements.
Yeah.
Because this poor couple is just utterly fucked in so many ways because she was so reliant upon her husband for so long that she didn't even know some of the passwords for their shit. So that's not good, but it is informative news that I think you guys should totally do.
Yeah. And also have the, this is from my experience, have the morbid but necessary discussion of what you want to happen when you're sick or dead. Because, you know, if you're sick, you want to have the living will in place. Like, if I'm in a vegetative state, I want this. If I'm in a coma, well, I want you to give me X amount of time but to come out of it. But I don't want to drain the family's finances for the rest of the body's natural life if I'm never coming out of it. And also, like, I'm not a believer. I don't really care about my earthly remains when I'm not here. I've always shared this joke that one of my old coworkers said, where just like, wrap me in plastic and throw me in a ditch.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you don't want the people left behind to wonder about what you would have wanted and how to honor your life in the proper way. And you don't want that to be like an additional thing that they have to stress over. You know, if you can just say, I want to be cremated, I want to be thrown into a wood chipper, I want to be fired.
Pour me out, stuff me and put me in the corner.
Yeah, yeah. You know, hey, have you tried the new furry fandom sensation skin suiting? You can now wear formerly famous furry publisher Fuzzle. We've had him made into a suit. You know, but no, I mean, back on the serious topic, you know, let your spouse, parents, children know, I want to be cremated. I want to be buried. I want my ashes scattered X place.
Like, I want my organs donated, my body cremated, my urn flung through my enemy's window.
And, you know, sometimes they'll say no, because I've told Tyrion, who could probably overhear me, that I want my ashes put in a TARDIS-shaped urn that makes the TARDIS noise
when you hit the button.
And you can hit other buttons, and I will say horrible things taken from some of our previous episodes.
There you
go. He's like, no, that's not cool.
Aw.
So I'm like,
come on, Tyrion, get it together.
I will not get my death wish.
To a funnier thing, we're kind of like balancing it out here. A little bit of red meat, a little bit of light, a little dark. So
okay, so let me give you a little light.
Okay.
Here, okay. Here's a joke. I've told it before, but it's been many years. Okay, so gay man dies, and his three friends have his urn in his ashes. They're wondering what to do with it. And they're like, you know, we should dump him in the ocean out by the Pacific because he really liked wine country. You know, all, we all went on that wine tour together. Like, or maybe we should go on. He really enjoyed that gay cruise that we went on. So maybe we should go on a cruise again and dump him overboard. Third guy gets this big grin on his face. And he says, I want to pour him in a bowl of the hottest chili I can make and then eat it. And the other two gets this horrified expression on his face. He goes, what the fuck is wrong with? Why would you say that? And the guy says, because I want to feel him tear up my ass one last time.
Oh, God. And here's another fun one. Concept number 22. Gay werewolf boyfriend who wears a shirt that reads, hashtag, not all men.
Yes.
So, Leiter, also, you have a cool little robot friend over here.
I do, yes. So, our non-shitty brony friend, Fetchbeer, is a whiz with the 3D printer. So Pixel Kitties, another really cool artist, pretty active in the brony community, had been doing a chopping mall themed board game that she was making herself. And Fetch, based just on the photograph she posted of one of the killbots, designed this 3D printer version of a killbot, printed it out, brought it over, and it's actually really cool. It says killbot on the back, and the head moves, the torso and arms move. And he printed it in glow-in-the-dark plastic.
It is super cool. So, if you guys listen, our subscribers to our Patreon, we had a discussion briefly about Chopping Mall. We sat down and watched Fox and Wolf Movie Time, Part 1. And you got your Blu-ray of that, which is cool.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just super cool. Little killbot. Little clank-clank hands and everything.
Yes.
The movie is on, like, Amazon Prime Instant Video, so you can totally check it out there. But the Blu-ray version, 16:9, pretty nice, apparently.
Yeah, I watched just like the first few minutes of the film itself just to see what the transfer was like. And it's like, yeah, as opposed to watching like an old VHS copy or something like that. Like, it's definitely night and day. They actually scanned this one from the negative and they did the digital remastering on it. So it looks really good. It's actually in widescreen, whereas my DVD was 4:3 because it came from a VHS master. There's a bunch of extra features on it. One of the extra features is kind of neat, is called Army of One. And it is about the world's largest chopping mall fan. And like, he's just like, this is my favorite movie, and I'm really glad that it's like this cult genre film because not a lot of people know about it, and that's allowed me to get some really cool shit. So there was 4 or 5 killbot robot props made for the film, and he has the only one left that still exists. He has a fucking killbot.
Nice.
And it's not just like, one of them was just like an empty shell prop for certain shots, but this is actually the full working one that has the car battery in the back and that in, you know, the treads and the engine and stuff like that. He has a killbot. He has a shooting script signed by all the artists or the actors and the director and the writer. And he has the movie still cards from South America, like certain area lobby cards.
Okay.
They're called. They used to be like a big thing back in the day. We don't really see them that much anymore.
Just like promotional art or promotional stills.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And like, when this DVD was being made, the director actually, like, they've hung out a couple of times, and the director called him up and said, hey, do you want to come and screen the 16:9 digital remaster with me? This is going to be what we put on the Blu-ray. And the guy was like, it's super cool to see this remastered version of the film after 30 years, you know, before anyone else, basically.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. They also have, like, a special called Back to the Mall, because it was released on Blu-ray in 2016, because that was the 30th anniversary of the film. And they had actually had a anniversary screening at, like, a really famous Hollywood movie theater. and it had a reunion, so they'd like they'd gotten all the actors and the crew and everybody that was involved as many as they could get together. And the actors were talking about it, like, it's like it was really amazing. It's like, because I was signing all these autographs, and I still get letters to this day about how much people love this movie and want an autograph.
It's super goofy fun. I totally recommend you guys check it out.
It's funny that sometimes there are movies that just like really click with certain groups of people. And like this bit part that someone played 30 years ago and they got killed in the first 20 minutes of the movie, and like they'll still get fan letters about it years later.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a neat phenomenon. And I was glad I was able to introduce it to you. So yeah.
It was worthwhile.
And
we will have to pick something else to do the next one.
I want to do Ice Pirates.
All right, cool.
Because it's been a long time since I've seen it. So I don't remember a whole lot about it, and you've never seen it.
Yep.
And it is a cheesy 80s sci-fi comedy.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a fun one to do.
So another thing that is also good, that it's good that we didn't record on Thursday, is the Eurofriends badge kerfluffle that was going on.
Yes.
So basically, there was some noise being made, very valid noise, that people were not very thrilled that you had to have your legal name on your badge, in addition to whatever fandom you wanted to go to Eurofriends.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of back and forth where people were like, oh, why won't you want your legal name on there? Are you shady? Yeah. And people getting dumbass ratioed to hell and back.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the argument was, look, if they are a person who's trans, or if they just don't like their name, or you go by a different name, they basically wanted you to have what's on your ID on your name badge. And there was really not a good reasoning for it. You're the convention organization. You have their registration info, right? You can put a number. You can put a designation. You have, like, if you're really concerned about, like, badge swapping, it's really easy to say, hey, what's the legal name associated to this badge? And if they check your ID, and, oh, no, you're badge swapping, which, who does that? I mean, I know it happens,
mm-hmm.
but they can then eject you for that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it just didn't make a lot of sense that they were being super insistent. And they actually really shot themselves in the foot because they're very dismissive initially. But again, they did mm-hmm. relent, and they decided, okay, we don't need to have legal names on the badges anymore. So good on EA for listening.
Yeah, and making an appropriate change. And apparently it's something that they've always done for 24 years now. And I'm sure it's probably come up before. But yeah, some people complain about, you know, I was going to say gangbang, dogpiling. I was trying to remember the actual term, sorry. People dogpiling on Twitter and stuff like that, and mob mentality and everything. But, you know, that shit works when it's for the right reason.
Yeah.
You know? When they're, like, getting a lot of feedback in a particular direction, whether they agree with it or not, it makes them reevaluate policies. And this goes for any organization, convention or otherwise. Yeah. You know, if you get a lot of feedback, you can look at it and be like, is this legitimate feedback? Is this within our power as an organization to change without too much expense or whatever like that? In this case, they obviously came to the conclusion that the feedback was valid, that their necessity for having this was something that was born out of the way they did things in the past, and that they don't need to do it anymore. And that's great. I will say that, like, I've seen several members of their staff tweeting very dismissively about this. But also, like, a year ago when the whole thing about the dealer's room came up, like, because one dealer had randomly said, I didn't know you had to pay to register for EF, and then there was no way to cancel it if you don't get a dealer's table. And they were also very dismissive about dealer concerns.
Yeah.
In that
sounds
regard.
Like they needed to get some new social media people.
Yeah, like, I think maybe the, you know, fandom has changed and they're not really, like, and I know part of it is a cultural thing because they're in Europe and a lot of the other cons, majority of the cons are over here, but I don't really hear shit like Confuzzled in Britain having these kinds of issues, you know?
And it seems like more than one person might have the keys to their account. So, like, for Fiesta, I think we have one social media person, or maybe two, and what goes out is vetted before it gets sent. When, for my convention, the only two people that had keys initially were Bob and I, and then we handed over to a third party during the convention to answer any things and relay things to us, because Bob and I were a little busy during the convention.
Right, yeah.
But we had a very tight rein on the social media and what went out. So I think that's either they need to maybe have a change of staff or just hand the keys to a different party who's not going to be dismissive of legitimate concerns.
And I want to say the official account wasn't too dismissive. They made some missteps. They were clearly trying. It was other con staffers acting in a non-official capacity that were really like the security staff head that basically just told people, if you don't like it, don't come, which is true, but that's not the attitude that you want to have from a con staffer.
Yeah, that's not good for the long-term health of the convention.
Yeah, that's not good PR for a con.
Especially when it's something really simple as taking a text field off your badges.
Yeah.
Like, even here in Dallas, Anime Fest, they've got really nice badges, and they come with nice holders. And what happens, like on the badge, they print your legal name inverted beneath your badge name. But because it comes in a badge holder, your legal name is obscured.
Yeah.
So they can easily check, is this a counterfeit? Is this badge swapped? Actually, they have little RFID tags in, so it's like a big-ass card that's folded in half, and they have an RFID tag in the middle. Mm. So anytime you're going to a panel room, they boop it for validation.
Wow, nice.
And vendor hall. It's a really good way for them to determine who's attending what. I don't know. I don't think that the RFID tags are – they're not personalized, but they are generalized so they can see X number of people were booped going into this panel. So this panel had X number of attendees.
Oh.
They get very precise, granular values for is this panel worthwhile? Is it missing out on other stuff?
We do the old-fashioned way where Glass has to walk to every panel and count people and write it down on a notepad.
It's a little clicker. But again, EF did relent, and that's one less concern.
I really thought it was going to go the way of the Frapocalypse complaints about the asylum-themed badges, where basically they just wait for the furor to die down, ignore all complaints, and then do what they're going to do anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really impressed that Euroference actually made the change in this case.
And again, it's not that far away, so we'll know pretty soon if they actually did change it or just said things on Twitter. So the other thing, you know, we were talking a little bit about the dogpiling on Twitter and when it is not good. So here's an example of when it is super dumb and not good. So Native American furry individual tweets, hey, Native American headdresses on fursuits, not so hot.
Mm-hmm.
No tags, no names, no nothing.
Right. Not calling out anyone. Just probably noticing a trend.
Like, hey, just like random white girls wearing war bonnets at Coachella, let's maybe not do that. And that's totally valid, because it's disrespectful at minimum, and ignorant, probably. And if you are actually a native person, your tribe might not be so thrilled that you're slapping a ceremonial headdress that probably has specific meanings to the tribe on a fursuit. That's just me as your average, totally not Native individual.
Right.
Like, I have practically zero Native American blood in me at all. So, like, I have no real dog in that fight, but I know better than to be like, I'm gonna put a Native American headdress on my Fennec fursuit that I don't own. Because, you know, whatever. And it flipped around that this fursuit maker, Firestorm 6, went on a goddamn tear, like this person had showed up and ripped the headdress off his suit.
Mm-hmm.
It was really wild because they had never said a thing. They just said this generalized phrase, and they weren't actually even talking about him. They were subtweeting another fursuiter that they had seen and it had made them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy goes on a tear and then gets all these people to, like, dogpile the original poster for, like, 2 days plus. It's been going on for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really weird is the guy was doing this from his professional account. This is another instance of a furry business account. This is, I mean, a fursuit maker just pissing themselves very publicly, destroying their business reputation to anybody that looks into them. As of this recording, his account is now non-existent. He's either shut it down or name changed it, which either one is totally possible.
Yeah.
But
maybe now he's Firestorm 7.
Firestorm 88.
No.
No. That's perhaps a step too far. But it is an instance where you end up seeing multiple tweets from these people that are coming to his defense about, quote, the good old days of furry.
Okay, so basically that part, he made this long journal post to FA, in addition to starting shit on Twitter. He made this journal post to FA that, and a big chunk of it was, well, of course, saying that this person was personally attacking him. She didn't. And then talking about how back in the good old days, there was no politics. And of course, he's saying, I'm completely apolitical. I'm not on the right or the left.
While equating quote unquote SJWs with Nazis.
Yeah.
I have actually an excerpt from here on my phone. So this is just two paragraphs, a excerpt from his journal.
Okay.
Screen cap for posterity if he has deleted it. Too bad. It's on the internet forever. For years from when I first discovered the furry fandom 18 years ago, fucking casual, the furry community was always a place where everyone was the same, with no political sides, no racial differences, no discrimination, no hatred, nothing of what is happening in society today.
We were all white males, and we didn't have to think about whether women should have the right to vote or whether black people were actually people.
Well, that's not actually from the thing, but the excerpt continues. But
that is what it makes me think.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was always equal in one big happy family where we could all be ourselves and feel happy being ourselves. But now not anymore, it seems. Ellipsis. Now there are the political sides infecting the fandom like the general society. We have the Nazi furs and the SJW furs. What I was attacked by today was very SJW in attitude. A person who believed in the social justice warrior ways, claiming she believed anyone wearing a... And it cuts off there.
I just like the idea of the social justice warrior ways. It makes me think of like...
Be considerate!
No. It makes me think of like a Jedi or a samurai, like going through training moves or something like that. I don't know, except it's like hugs.
It's like, you know, the basic level ones, like, don't say the N-word. Don't make racial slurs.
While you're doing like a standing crane.
Yeah, you're doing the yoga moves or whatever.
Yeah.
And it really flies in the face because I've seen more than one person making this argument. There was this somehow mythical golden age in furry or any other fandom that these divisions didn't occur.
This comes from real life, though. This is Republicans want to go back to the glorious 50s.
Yeah.
When America was great and we didn't have any problems and everything was wonderful. Unless you weren't in a white nuclear family.
Exactly.
And straight, you know. It's a past that never existed.
I read an author, I think Siani retweeted it, that was about the dream time, which the fictionalized halcyon days of the past, which never existed, but people pine for. You know, be it the mystical 50s, the mystical Middle Ages with knights and swords and dragons and wizards and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real. It never was real. And when you try to say this in a fandom that at least, you know, the furry fandom's not that old. And in the mystical days of the early 2000s, just speaking from personal experience, I knew one person of color before I went to Anthrocon 2004.
Mm-hmm. Where all three of them were.
Exactly. Because Max Blackrabbit was there. That made two.
Right.
And there may have been a couple more, but... And actually, I have photos of Anthrocon 2004. I found a cache of old-ass photos taken from a disposable camera.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, there's, like, no women, and there's no black people. And, you know, the fandom back then was majority white, majority male. And, you know, in my personal experience, my sphere's pretty gay, but I guess not.
No, there was actually, like, a lot of the burned fur era kind of thing in the late 90s, early 2000s. You had the old straight
furries who, for them, furry was all about Minerva Mink and big busted Lola Bunny and drawing characters with huge tits, getting really pissed off about the increasing frequency of homoerotic art.
Like, my personal experience differs from yours in that regard, but, you know, the burned furs, that was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
You know, these are people that were super mad about pornography in the fandom, but they were mad because it was a lot of gay stuff happening. And this was a major division in the fandom. It wasn't a large amount of people, but they were agitators, yeah, and they were shitting up the boards that we had at the time.
I can't remember if it was you that tweeted this or if I just, or maybe you retweeted it, but it was a comment on Twitter where it was like somebody said, anyone that thinks that everybody got along in the 90s furry, just go to the alt fan furry news group and that was be proven wrong.
Probably something I retweeted or my, because I probably saw it, but I didn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, but my experiences was very white, pretty gay. But then, like, also, I was involved in, like, the Christian furries then. And I was a gay kid and having a real rough time about it. And that group was incredibly divided inside itself.
Yeah, like, the Christian furries, some of them were very anti-gay. And some of them was, God loves everyone, even if you're gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can kind of guess which side I sided with. But it was right. A major division issue. You had, like, the prestige thing of being on YERF or being in the gutters of VCL or God help you, the Orlando Furry Archive, you know, were you writing good shit? Were you getting posted to YFSTAR or were you off at MiaVeers, you know? And there was divisions on this and the fandom, big thing that people are mad about, and it just has to be, is that the fandom is becoming way more diverse. Like, okay, we've got a lot of women. We've got a lot of people of color. We have a lot more openly trans individuals in the fandom. Like, I didn't know, I swear to God, I did not know somebody who was trans until, like, 7 years ago. Well, I knew of them, but I didn't know them and wasn't friends with anybody. Uh-huh. And so, obviously, that has changed in the past while, and I can now count them on two hands. But
yeah,
that's a lot more than I knew.
I'm kind of embarrassed about this situation where there's a furry author, I know they're trans, but I've completely forgotten in which direction. I mean, and I'm like, if I ever meet them in person, I'll ask their preferred pronouns, but I've totally forgotten whether they were male to female or female to male.
And that happens.
And that's like how little it matters at this point.
Yeah. But you're willing to ask them their pronouns, and that's cool. Yeah. That's being accommodating and being welcoming to somebody. And so we have a situation, and I put situation in quotation marks, where the fandom is becoming a lot more diverse. We have artists from all over the world. We have people doing super diverse art styles and presenting themselves in various ways. And the fandom is no longer 95% white males. And that's cool. That's good. That means our fandom is healthy. It's not stagnating into a pool of crusty old white dudes jacking it to the same five images of Minerva Mink.
Yeah.
And it's good that there is a broader diversity of art and thought and people in the community, because that means we have longevity.
Yeah. I love that some alt furry asshole tried to get Sonic Fox on their side.
Yeah.
And Sonic replied, oh, fuck no, I don't want those people watching my shit.
Yeah, like, and then he was like, hashtag not all, and he was like, no, actually, all of y'all are trash.
Yeah, yeah.
So Sonic Fox continues to not be a milkshake duck. That's cool.
Yeah.
Gay furry, FGC hero making lots of money. And making his company use his persona in his promotional art. It's like, Asian guy, American guy, fox, dude.
Fucking blue fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just want people to understand that anytime you see these kind of people pining for the glory days of fandom past, that what they really want is they want the fandom to be homogenous again. And just like in real life and in the country and in many other ways, that's just not happening. It's happened in anime. This has happened very disgustingly in video game, that there are more people involved in the boys club, and that pisses a certain faction of folks off.
Yeah,
but it's not changing. It's not going away. And the people that make these arguments about, oh, we were all fuzzy wuzzy fun clubs, no, we weren't. We were always people. And I made this point last week where, yes, we're furries on Twitter, and that's how we present ourselves. You know, I am totally not a smug, naked fox laying on a vaporwave background, which would be kind of cool if I was, but, you know.
But you're stuck with your flesh sack.
Yes, I'm stuck with my meat puppet here. And I may tweet, you know, cute Pokemon stuff. I may tweet humor. I may be like, oh man, these new little fox dudes from the next World of Warcraft expansion are super fucking cute. I want to hug them and or fuck them. Uh-huh. And then also be like, hey, don't be an asshole to people. P.S. Fuck turfs.
Yeah.
So my existence online is very furry. But my existence online is me. So Saverin is a very multifaceted character, because I'm Saverin.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think the majority of people, like, they're not playing a character when they're on Twitter or something. It's really just me with this furry avatar.
Yeah.
Over, you know.
You know.
It's just fucking people, man. But, oh, some of the comments I saw in defense of Firestorm 6's idiocy were like, yeah, we don't have this problem, SJWs, we don't have this problem in some of the other communities I'm in, like the Warcraft community or the 40k community wouldn't put up with this shit. And what's funny is that, yeah, those communities are being highly criticized for not doing anything about their Nazi problem.
Yeah, I mean, Warhammer 40k, where the main guys are horrible space fascists and everything else is just as bad. And the only vaguely good guys are space communists, the, I forget what they're even fucking called, that are going to get eaten by the Tyranids, you know? Mm-hmm. The horrible space bugs. And it's a, again, heavily white, heavily male hobby, which is incredibly expensive to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Warcraft, that's just gamers. Again, actually going on back to fucking gamers, the voice actors for D.Va, there was a tweet where it's like, wow, even the best gamer in the world, D.Va, can't escape toxic gamers, where the voice actress was playing some Overwatch and was playing as her character and throwing out the lines. And people were, like, giving her shit for whatever reason.
Like, you're fans of this game, you're fans of this character, but when the actress who plays this character is actually playing the game, you give her shit. On
voice comms, too. So, like,
yeah.
There's a good reason that most people don't play with voice enabled, and it's just
It really says something about your community when you don't play with voice enabled because it's full of shitheads. And like you were saying about the Twitch charity thing for Us Games Done Quick, yeah, turn the chat off and just enjoy the
content.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, but not surprising. And so, yeah, the Warhammer community, people congregate into guilds that don't tolerate that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the shitty losers off by themselves. And you've got, in the Warhammer 40k thing, you just have people that don't play. Like, Warhammer is incredibly expensive. And wargaming in general has a very white male grognard-looking older demographic. There's a good reason why Games Workshop is, like, the only reason they're still around is they have this very core group of people that are willing to pay $1,000 for a mech, a high-grade fancy mecha that you can't even use in most games.
If I pay $1,000 for a mech, it better be a suit I could fucking wear.
I know, right? So basically, oh, why aren't there women in these spaces? Because you've priced them out and you're a bunch of toxic assholes. And it's good in some ways that there is, like, and this is shifting topics slightly, but like for the gaming stores that do organized play that are very strict about the rules, that those exist. Like Boardwalk Games up here apparently is pretty good about that. They do organized play and they're like, yo, you can't be a shithead to any of our women who come into play. Mm-hmm. Like, none of this sexist bullshit, just get the fuck out. And that's from what I've heard. Friend Webster, she goes and GMs out there occasionally and has a good old time. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, these communities have to police themselves or they just get shoved into irrelevancy.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. You can totally be that asshole on the net, this, like, lol SJWs, lol females, but you're going to find yourselves increasingly marginalized.
Yeah.
Just because you think your boy's in power now doesn't mean that shit's not going to shift. And being a jerk to women turns out to not work out very well in the long run.
Yeah, it's so funny how many people in incel communities are jerks to women and they don't see, like, a correlation.
Why don't you give me the sex that I'm owed, femoid?
Yeah, I can't believe people actually talk like that.
Yeah.
Like, not just joking. Like,
they actually mean it. Reddit finally did eventually ban that subreddit after they got incredibly violent in their rhetoric, but
Jesus.
It's just like, holy shit, guys. And more often than not, anytime you see somebody being shitty to other people on Twitter that have, like, you know, just like some double digit follower account, I bet if you find, if you just like control F for lonely, you'll get a hit. Just gonna give you a hint.
Like, so much in life about success or failure in various genres is arenas is about attitude. And if you have this shitty women suck but I'm owed sex attitude, troll F lonely is what you're gonna get.
Yeah. Just like find on their Twitter feed where they're complaining where their life is garbage and they're so alone, and then three tweets later shouting awful nonsense at people online. You have to play well with others.
Yeah.
So I think that basically covers all my topics that I had.
Okay. I have a chopping ball toy and I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
That's my topic.
I came in today, it was like, I got two red meat topics, a neutral topic, and some funny stuff. All right, let's pound this out.
You came in loaded for bear, and I have comments, I'm kind of like, well, what have I been up to?
You've been watching Traveler Season 1.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, all right, let's talk about that. So yeah, I'm watching Season 1 of Travelers. Apparently, you've watched both seasons?
Yeah, I'm all the way caught up.
Has it been renewed for a third?
No idea.
Okay, all right.
But they're just kind of throwing little stories.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool, cool.
Like, season 2 totally sets up for a season 3, but I don't know if they got a season 3. While you're talking, I'm going to look that
up. Okay, yeah. I mean, there's not much to say, really. It's just, it's another show on Netflix that I am really enjoying. I also have to say, holy fuck, Star Trek Discovery got good. Like, some of my early complaints about it are, like, totally justified because they totally pay off. Like, when you're like, that seems stupid because of this reason, it actually pays off several, I'll say, chapters, because they said it was going to be structured like a novel. Several chapters later, it really plays out. And you're like, oh! It's actually a really neat show. It's very different from other Star Treks. But, and apparently the writers have been saying the whole time, trust us, trust us. And yeah, it's paying off. I think they probably got a couple more episodes this season. And next season it might be more traditional Star Trek. But they've done some neat stuff, this show. You and I should watch it, because I've got the
CBS app. Okay, yeah, I haven't seen any of it, and we can, like, discuss that, too.
Yeah. So that's got good. The Gifted and Runaways have both finished out their seasons. Believe they're getting additional seasons. They both left off on a note of, this is the end of a chapter, and, you know, they'll be going and continuing the stories next season. Those are both really... Have you watched either of those shows?
No.
They're both really good. They're both Marvel Universe shows. The Gifted is very much in the X-Men universe. They mention the X-Men. The X-Men characters are not in it.
Yeah.
But it takes place at a point where the X-Men are gone. They haven't explained why or where yet, but it's all very mutant-centric. A lot of the characters are characters from the comics. One of the main characters, Polaris, who I'm quite familiar with because I read X-Factor for years back when Peter David was writing it.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And they've mentioned her father, but they haven't said his name. But, you know, if you know the comics, her father's Magneto.
Yeah.
She has a magnetism power. Lots of really cool characters in there. Also, there's these three identical sisters. And they all have mental abilities, and their last name is Frost, but they're not Emma Frost. But, like, clearly that's a reference.
Yeah.
And they do reference the Hellfire Club. And Runaways is a comic that I was not familiar with.
It's like a more teen-based one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, they're all teens. They're rich. They're living in Brentwood, California. And all of their parents got rich by basically making a pact with this guy like 15 years ago to do certain things that turned out to be quite shady. And they realize that they've gotten in over their heads.
Ah.
And like the teens discover them doing this ritual where they basically sacrifice a runaway girl.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
And of course, and you know, and there's like a lot of duplicity too, because like one of the people that's in their little not quite a cult had also videotaped one of the ceremonies so that she would have her own
leverage.
Like leverage, yeah. And now they're kind of like, you know, they're trying to protect their kids, but like they're the guy in charge is like, you either need to get your kids under control or they gotta go, you know? But it's interesting because, like, one is a mutant, but they haven't said she's a mutant, so I'm thinking this is probably a different network that doesn't have the... Can't call them mutants like the X-Men show can, yeah.
Because, like, Inhumans was... Couldn't call them mutants. They were Inhumans.
Right. Although Inhumans are a separate thing in the comics. They're actually a thing in the comics.
Okay. I don't know the delineation between
the There's... Just like in the show, in humans, they're like this separate species.
Sort of.
Okay. Yeah. It's a different thing. It was something like, I'm trying to remember the origin of it. I think what it is that the Kree or some other alien race basically seeded certain parts of humanity with these abilities in order to like help. They were supposed to, like, achieve some purpose later on. Huh. And every Inhuman ability has... The Inhuman has that ability for a particular reason that is destiny is supposed to play out or something like that, right? And then that's what they say in the show. And, like, it doesn't always, like, play out that way. Like, you know, like in S.H.I.E.L.D., you don't know what... Daisy's ultimate destiny is supposed to be and stuff. That's another show that's... God, shit, talking about TV a lot. That's another good show, too. Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm staying caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
We kind of have to... We balance it, you know?
Yeah. So, Runaways is really good. It has some really likable characters and interactions between them. And, like, it's a group of very different individuals and how they get along or don't get along sometimes. And... their personality clashes together.
Is it
together.
On like Netflix or?
It is on Hulu.
Okay.
From last year, which is supposed to be getting a second season, watch Legion if you haven't watched Legion. That's another X-Universe TV show. And they do actually call them mutants. That. So it is one of, it's probably
the like same. It has the X-Men X is part of the logo, I think.
Yes. And Legion is David Haller, who is Professor Xavier's son in the comics. In the comics, Legion is, he's insane. And he has this idea that he knows that Xavier and Magneto have always been at loggerheads. And he's like, if I go back in time and kill Magneto, then my father's dream of a world that is at peace between humans and mutants will come into reality. So he goes back in time, tries to kill Magneto. Xavier jumps in the way to save him because he's Magneto's friend at this point in time. Yeah. So Legion accidentally kills Xavier. This causes the change in time that results in one of my favorite comic crossovers of all time, The Age of Apocalypse. Oh. And because Xavier no longer existed after this point, because he was dead, Magneto tried to basically live up to his friend's dreams. So Magneto doesn't become the villain, but because Xavier's not there, shit doesn't play out the way that it should. And it becomes this nightmare scenario, parallel timeline. None of that is in Legion the show, because that's like some serious X-Men movie shit right there.
Yeah, that's like some high concept, take a long ass time to do,
but what
very
they're,
expensive sounding.
What they're doing is they're going into the depths of what Legion's mental issues are, why he is the way he is. Like, he has, like, multiple personalities in the comic, and they've kind of tried to change that around, and, like, there are outside forces that are messing with him, that, like, he's very powerful because he's the son of Charles Xavier, but other people want his power.
Yeah.
And like, and so the focus is on Legion as a character and not just on, you know, not related to his larger story in the comics and everything. But it's a really good show. It is super trippy. And like, you will end episodes going, what the fuck?
Nice. But
it's definitely worth watching.
So on my end.
Oh, just a real quick note. Much like the way Panther texts you while you're recording, my roommate texted me while we were recording, said Runaways is getting a season 2.
Okay, so. Convenient.
Yes.
So one thing, Panther and I have been watching the first few episodes of, I think I talked to you on Thursday, but I didn't say on the show because we hadn't watched yet, Glitch.
Right,
which okay. is a Australian show, that they had to translate it to English, right?
Yeah.
About a group of people that come back from the dead in peak physical condition. It's been pretty cool. We've seen the first two episodes, I think. One, it's cool because it's an Australian show shot in Australia, so a little bit different than what we got here.
Mm-hmm.
And like the characters they choose that pop out of the ground, like they're all from this one graveyard or near grave, this other graveyard, are all from various different times.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one person from the 30s, a person from the 60s, somebody from the current year, from the current like time frame, like she died 2 years ago. There's somebody from the 1940s or somebody from the 1850s.
Mm-hmm.
So basically there's all these various characters that have come back. They're physically very healthy and in peak health, but they don't really have their memories. And the mystery is like, what the fuck happened that brought these people back? Mm-hmm. And like, they find out pretty quickly that there's a twist that these people can only go so far from their grave, it seems.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool. And it's on Netflix. We've been watching the first little bit of that. Also, going over the YouTube stuff, I want to say thanks to you guys that have been watching stuff for me on YouTube. I've gone from a 372-hour deficit to a 212-hour deficit. I still have a ways to go, but I still have like 3 weeks. And I am currently in the process of releasing my Let's Play of Doom. I played through all of Doom 2016, kind of low commentary, just killing the shit out of demons and monsters. Honestly, I kind of got a little bored by the end of it because there's so little story. It's all about ripping and tearing and, murder. But I'm currently playing through Wolfenstein The New Order. And that game, I'm way more invested in because it actually has a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not like, I'm the Doom Marine fighting monsters on Mars and in hell. I'm B.J. Blazkowicz fighting fucking Nazis in the 1960s.
Mm.
So, like, I'm finding Wolfenstein to be actually way more interesting and engaging because it takes place in a quote-unquote real world and you're fighting evil, fucked-up humans and not demons from hell. You know, it's real easy to be like, ah, they're monsters. They don't have cognizant thoughts versus these guys are just Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm enjoying that a lot. And then once I get up to Wolfenstein 2, I will probably stream that. I should actually stream the rest of Wolfenstein while I'm at it, just so people can watch it alongside. But I'm going to play it separately, like do a personal playthrough and then like a stream playthrough, because I can record in 1080p 60, but I can't stream at that resolution reliably.
Why not? Internet?
Bandwidth.
Okay.
Like, to stream it at 1080p 60 requires a shitload of bandwidth, and sometimes because of Frontier, the fiber's not up to snuff.
Hmm. What kind of download speed do you need to do that?
Well, we're supposedly have 75/75 up down,
uh-huh.
But, so it's 75 megabit, but yeah. Sometimes the local network's like, actually, no, your upload speed's gonna be shit.
Hmm.
Which made certain times when I was like, okay, I'm uploading 30 gigs of YouTube videos and like, oh, right. Well, this is going to take 12 hours more versus, okay, this takes 30 minutes. I
forgot
minutes.
Streaming is kind of about the upload speed.
Yeah. You know, it's fun. I'm enjoying just sitting down and playing. I'm kind of back on my YouTube bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Putting this show up on there has helped a little bit too. I will also say thank you to everybody who just turned on a playlist. Kind of didn't mute the tab, but not the video, because if you mute the video, it doesn't count.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So if you mute, basically you just have to take it down to like one pixel of audio.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you can mute the tab in like Chrome or Firefox, but yeah. You can't mute the video itself in the player.
Hmm. By the way, Chrome won't let you do that.
No.
You can't mute the tab.
Oh. Well. Yeah.
Because Chrome, YouTube.
Yeah.
It's a Google thing.
So yeah. Basically, I appreciate the help.
Or maybe you can if you have multiple tabs open. I just had a YouTube video
open. But it is nice. So. I was like, oh, there's X amount of hits on these audiobook things, these pony stories that I did.
I just loaded up the play all.
And they have 100% view rate. Wow! So I'm gaming the system a little bit. And ultimately, it doesn't matter all that much. But, you know, it's easier to keep it than lose it and have to regain it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just my thoughts. So, do me a favor. Watch my Let's Plays. Night in the Woods, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good game. Fuzz and I did it together. It was fun. So, I'm kind of out of topics. We've got Fiesta in 2 weeks.
Yep.
You got anything else?
We have new releases for Fiesta.
What you got?
So, we have Book 2 of Love Match, which covers years 2010 to 2012. Has a cover and interior art by Rukus, which it looks really good. That is available for pre-order on our website already. I've also put up Ace/Roanoke's newest comic, Safe Word, which is pretty hot femdom comic with a character and her husband. And of course, Ace's artwork is just amazing and awesome. So that's orderable from the website now. We're still getting pummeled with orders for calendars, so that's good.
Nice.
Keeping up to date on getting that out there. It's only January, so order a calendar. You have almost a whole year to enjoy it. We have an anthology of short stories called Ferals. That is, they're all intelligent animals. Like, there's the, like, four-footed furries.
Yeah, so just
interacting with characters. Two-footed furries, yeah. Okay. So, like, the first story in the book, which is what the cover is based on, is about a woman and a dragon, which is pretty fucking hot.
All right.
One story is about, it's about wares and when you get bitten or turned into a were creature or whatever, and how it doesn't, like, each were is different. Like, you're not all going to be the two-footed snarling werewolf.
Just get turned into a wolf.
The main character is a were poodle.
Nice.
There's a couple of other dog characters, and there's also someone whose were form is a four-footed, I think, hippo.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, some kind of
Full moon just sucks for them.
They like getting fucked. So, you know, okay. It works out. Basically, these four guys have been like, you know, we can't really, like, hang out around town during the full moon. So, we just meet up in the woods, spend time together, and fuck.
That sounds fun.
And so, yeah.
Make the best of a weird situation.
Yeah, totally. Rukus also did the cover, really short time frame.
Cool. Do you have copies here?
No, we don't have that print yet, but here is the cover.
Oh, nice. It's got a chicken and dragon.
Yep. It's pretty awesome.
The classic fantasy trope.
That is exactly what I was thinking, you know, it's
dragons
like...
Dragons fuck everything.
It's like it looks like the cover of an old fantasy paperback.
Yeah.
And I really kind of dig that.
And who did the editing on that one?
That's a Rechan book.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, who did Will of the Alpha Taboo.
Nice.
And has done a couple of his own books. What else? I feel like there's another one. Two new Ros Gibson comics. The last volumes of her Blacklight and City of Ice story. Which Blacklight is a Jack Salem storyline. City of Ice takes place in the same universe, but about 50 years before he was born. So it's about, like, it's got humans and anthros.
Yeah.
And it's kind of setting up that world.
Like, again, her stuff was in, like, Furlough way back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's...
Like, some of it, like, a lot, like, basically we've been reprinting them in modern...
Yeah.
Formats, and she's gone through and digitally relettered them and nice. Everything like that.
It's cool that we're kind of preserving furry history that way.
Yeah, and there's a couple of accounts online, which this is actually a really interesting debate that, like, God, it'd be really interesting to, like, talk to a lawyer about this, because there's a couple of furries who have, like, scanned in a bunch of... We talked about this a little bit. Scanned in a bunch of, like, the really old comics that don't exist or are very hard to find. Like, they're not currently in print. They were a really short print run or self-published stuff from 20, 30 years ago. and there, some people are scanning them in and putting them on the web.
Yeah.
And they're like, there are clear copyright implications there, issues, but it's also, you also worry that these stories are going to be lost to time.
Yeah.
So it's sort of an interesting dilemma. Like, and the same thing, that tied into like the Google Books lawsuit as well. Remember, Google wanted to basically scan all the books, and the Authors Guild was like,
all the books.
Yeah. And the Authors Guild was like, fuck you, we don't want you to do that, and took them to court, and the Authors Guild lost. And I'm not sure if like Google's book scanning program is still going on or not, but you know, the Library of Congress is supposed to serve as this sort of repository of like all of our shit, you know, like a lot of books that are copies of all these different books and media that, you know, we don't want destroyed at the end of the world or whatever. But not everything is going to end up in the Library of Congress. So what do you do with the rest of it?
Yeah.
It's a larger issue. And
it's kind of like the archive.org stuff, if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
Like, they're archiving shitloads of old software and games for companies that don't exist anymore. You can play a crapload of old DOS games on archive.org.
No kidding.
Yeah. You can really check out a lot of, like, old ZX Spectrum, old, like, limited release kind of things, like Commodore 64, 128 stuff.
Right. And
yeah, they're archiving, digitally archiving stuff that otherwise wouldn't exist. There's a project that I've heard called, like, the Floppy Project, which basically is like, hey, if you find old-ass 3.5-inch or 5.5-inch floppies, and you don't know what the fuck they are, or you find a program, you can totally just mail it to them, and they will try to extract the data off it. And if it's a program that they don't already have, they'll archive it so that there is a digital representation of that file that is not rotting away on an old-ass floppy disk.
Right.
And they've, like, so far they're like, you know, we've, like, rescued, like, 5,000 or so pieces of software that didn't have any other extant copies.
Huh.
That they just, someone's like, yo, I found these old floppies in my dad's basement or whatever here. So, that's cool. And yeah, like, the question of old furry comics, I mean, nobody's really archiving them. So you do have people that are, like, obsessively collecting them. And, you know, there's people that have left the fandom, people who are dead. And yeah, like, it really does put us in a weird situation. Because, like, Albedo came up. Because I have some copies of Albedo.
Yeah.
But it also turns out that that author put their stuff out there on the net in digital form already.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it really is a question. We do have an email.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to read that real quick.
Pause cast.
So,
by the way, I went through it and double checked. Like, all of our contact info is now consistent.
Okay, good.
So we are South Pause, plural, or South Pause cast on Twitter, Tumblr, Gmail, and Patreon.
Okay, good. Because, like, I was doing it all in, like, one day, just, like, flipping every switch, and I might have missed, I know I missed a couple.
And I know they probably won't hear this, so we'll have to put this out on Twitter, but if you subscribe to our Google Play, if you subscribe to our iTunes, it's okay, the changeover went over successful, and you should still be subscribed, but if you were subscribed to Google Play, that worked out a little differently, and I had to delete the feed and then recreate it with the new feed address.
Oh.
So if you were subscribed to Google Play through the Google Play podcast, all three of you, then you will have to resubscribe now. And I did verify on one of our Android phones that we are still listed with Google Play under the new feed. So.
Okay, so this one's titled Life Advice Update. Dear Crew, more than 3 years ago, way back in episode 269, I wrote in to ask for some life advice. I was a soon-to-be daddy who didn't have much experience with kids. Here I am to give you guys a long-overdue update. It was very rocky at first. Not long after I wrote in, I was laid off and landed a new job, which initially required a lot of travel. 2 months before our kiddo was due, there was a life-threatening complication. He was born by emergency C-section while I was on the other side of the country. After he got out of the natal ICU, our house flooded. Not a very auspicious way to start fatherhood. Slowly but surely, we got into the parenting groove. I'd never been a very patient person, but I've learned to be one. Fuzz's advice to avoid shaking the baby was well taken. Changing diapers didn't bother me nearly as much as I thought it would. The hardest part, it turns out, was the lack of sleep. Today, our son is healthy, well-adjusted, and at the age where he's a lot of fun to interact with. Not a week goes by where he doesn't surprise me with some new behavior or talent. He's even come with me to Megaplex, probably the youngest con attendee ever. As you might imagine, he's a big fan of the suitors. Kids are expensive and a huge amount of work, so remember, kids, wrap your junk. Parenthood is essentially an unpaid 80-hour-per-week job. I can see why that's not for everyone, but so far it's working out for me. Last week, our second son was born, so things around here are about to get a lot more interesting. But this time around, it's not so overwhelming. Anonymous. Cool. Yay, we gave some good advice and their kid's okay. Woo! Woo. We helped.
So, on that note, if you don't know about it already, there is a thing called a diaper genie that I actually bought my sister when she was pregnant because it was on her baby wish list. And it's apparently it's really amazing. It keeps any nasty diaper smell from like permeating throughout the house. You push the diaper in and it fucking seals it into a bag and dumps it down. And then, so then when you change it out, like, there's no shit smell or anything like that when you take it out to the garbage or whatever. And yeah, my sister says she loves it. So I was like, yay, I bought a good thing. Not a lot of our listeners, maybe 10 years or another 10 years, a lot more of our listeners will appreciate this advice.
Yeah. All right, kids. Well, I have to get home because we have a guest senior watching Blade Runner with somebody from the internet, so we might get killed. Who knows? Probably not. Gonna have a weekend of just roast. I posted those photos last night of cooking and preparing veggies and meat and whatnot, and
yeah.
Adam feeding him a green bean and him being like, this is okay, and eating it.
Yeah.
He also liked carrots. Can't have potatoes or onions, so don't give your dogs that. So, southpawscast@gmail.
Mm-hmm.
And then our Patreon, Southpawscast, yes. Or Southpaws.
Uh-huh.
Twitter,
Tumblr and Twitter.
Southpawscast. Then you can find me on Twitter @SavinDrake.
Find me on Twitter @FuzzWolf.
And you can find this show on YouTube at justafox.com. It's my YouTube channel. Figuring putting it up there, getting it out there maybe to a broader audience. And that's going to wrap up for this week. Next week we will probably have a show. But then the week after that is Fiesta week, so we will be recovering, though we might sit down and record something during the convention. Probably not.
We say that every year.
Yeah, we say that every year, but we never do. But the week afterwards, we'll just put an after action report where Shiva will be able to join us again. Hopefully we won't be dealing with Concred, and we can have a good report from a good first year at our new venue, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Things go well.
All right. So on that note, good night.
And have a nice day.